Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Jensen and Roscoe Show. Today we are joined by Cryptic.
Yo, how's it going? Yo.
Yep.
Cryptic. How you going, man? Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome.
Yeah, man.
Big up.
Bless up, man.
Three good things that happened to you today.
Oh, damn, man. I woke up. That is like the main one. I woke up, it was a new day. I got up to the manor. And it's been a while as well. So, like, it's maybe this is kind of a dual wheeled one, but like, seeing the boys I haven't seen in a while. Sat down, had a smoke, had a chill, laid down some music.
Yeah, nice.
And yeah, man, well, that was the counter, like, they lay down the music. So, yeah, I killed two birds and a stone. And here, man, like, yeah, I'm super stoked to come over. Like, the train's over, we're just super easy. It was one of those, you just sort of float in, yeah, like, everything's timed perfectly. And yeah, it's just been one of those.
Made to be.
You know, Ice Cube's fucking.
It was a good day.
I could have had that just fucking in the background. Yeah, lovely.
Nice. So, fucking, I seen a Stickman from Dead Prez the other day. He said, like, I wish that my
life... you've seen in person?
No, like, he said, I wish. He said, fucking, he wishes that everything in his life had background music.
Oh, yeah.
So he knew what was, like, there is, like... Because I made that reel the other day for Blaze, when Blaze was on. And it's him, like, where he's talking about, like, you listen to it without the emotional music. It's the first reel that I made with... put the music behind it. And he's, like, it's him talking about... the journey of life and being a human being and like that.
Yeah,
with the
fuck,
with the emotional music behind it, it's like, wow, this shit's powerful, man. It's like, imagine just having that in your head, like, all the time when someone's speaking to you, and it's like,
I do.
Do you?
I quite often hear music in my head when I'm doing, especially when I'm just walking. If I'm just walking, like, I'm like, shit. I feel like I've got a soundtrack going on.
Yeah.
Especially like if you like, I focus in on like the birds will tweet and little tune, and then you will like catch their tune or something. But like the first time I actually noticed it, way before I was actually even doing the music thing, and I still had this musical side to me. I was off at Global Gathering up in Stratford-upon-Avon. And, you know, you're coming back, you're a little bit jaded, and I'm laying back on a train, and I heard, like, big into my drum bass at the time. That's why I went there. But, like, you know, the railway track's like... And I was like, yes. I was just like inventing this tune on, you know, in my head, just with those railway clicks. And I was like, yeah, you always hear music, every aspect of your life, man, if you listen for it.
Yeah, the rhythm of life, innit? Well, everything's the fucking, the theory of everything is fucking harmonics.
Yeah.
String vibrations. Vibrations, do you know what I mean? Fucking into that realm. And it's like, it's true, like fucking how music controls emotions, do you know what I mean? Like the moods it can put you in. Like that simple fact of doing that, like it's like what you're listening to is going to put you in that state. Like you sync to it again. Like you sync to, do you know what I mean? You're walking, you'll sync to the beat.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You're just like, you do, like your emotions, your times, everything.
There was a documentary actually my mum showed me years ago, and it was this chap, and for the life of me, I can't remember the dude's name. So I must send you the name, and maybe you'll just tag it in the bio or whatever, because it was really, really interesting. He super freezes vibrations running through water.
Ah, sick, yeah.
And he does sort of aggressive sounds and soft, pleasant sounds. And he's obviously talking about how, you know, a negative pitch, tone or whatever of the voice will actually affect a person and will affect your emotions. And it's amazing, like the jagged edges of the negative noises compared to these really rounded, almost like soft snowflakey like shapes that you know, oh, like I love you, and it's like, you know, a little flower shape, and like I hate you, and it's like hate is just like,
I've seen one like that as well, and it's it's like I remember Sadhguru
talking about Donnie.
And he was saying about water, you should never drink water that has come straight out of a tap. Not for like the argument reasons that it's got fucking lead or chemicals, fucking whatever, pollutants in it, but for the reason he said, like, water is like almost like a living conscious thing. And he says, fucking, that water has been shot through pipes and bends and right angles and all this, like, this big system. He's like, water doesn't flow like that. He goes, that you drink water like that, fresh out the tap, and take it out and drink it straight away. He goes, you're poisoning yourself with water every day. This is what he's saying. He goes, said in India, what they do, he says, they get the water from the tap, they fucking sprinkle some fucking like jasmine leaves and fucking stuff on it. He says, but they put it in the pot, and then you have to leave it to sit for 30 minutes for the water to calm down from all the fucking. I was like,
have you seen the
the documentary on water having memory?
No.
I haven't seen a documentary, but
It's only like 20 minutes long, and they're like talking about how, so they were like, I don't know how they were doing it. They'll put like, say, a daffodil in water, and then they take a droplet of water, put it onto this thing, and it would be the shape of the daffodil from above, looking down. And it was like showing that how water can retain information.
That's mad.
Which is fucking crazy.
Doesn't surprise me, to be honest. It's an absolute force of nature. It's one of the most destructive, most healing as well, you know?
Water is life. Do you mean without water?
Unless it's in your lungs. Then it's pretty much dead.
But you say that, 70% of your body is water. Yeah,
that's true.
That's not in your lungs.
Yeah, just keep it out of there.
You say, like, you throw a kid in the, like, newborn kid in the water and they will literally swim. Just go whoop, straight up and learn how to
swim. We had a water birth with my second one, Cecily. She was water birth.
She swim? Did she swim straight away?
So, mate, the birth was like...
Because it comes straight out of the womb.
Yeah, they're still they still get their oxygen from the umbilical cord until it stops pulsing.
That's mad. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Mate, the midwife we had, she was a fucking G.
Is it?
So like Matilda, her name was, and when Carval was born, right? He was fucking. It was all like first birth, everything like And the midwife, just the fucking midwife, she was like, but this Matilda, she was like real into her hypno birth and shit. Because we had on the papers that we wanted a water birth.
Yeah.
She took us in this, like, apprentice wanted to come along. She was like, no, I'll take these two. Like, and she was like, you know, them people you meet in life and they're just like, ah, and they're just floating. Yeah. It's like, she was beautiful, it's like nature. Yeah. And you could just like, and right, the fucking water birth, like, it was like textbook fucking pure beauty, like, so Sham was in the bath and fucking sat in this big pool, and like, she's like, push, and like, there was no like, ah, I mean, like, she's obviously like in pain, like,
did she do the hypnoting as well?
No, we didn't, but like, I learned that after, and I was like, oh shit, like, so this woman must have been into that because the method she was using was like that,
right?
But like, when, like, Cecily was out, but like, she wasn't like properly out. And like, she even like tricked Sean into like saying, like, she's like, yeah, nearly there. And like, it's like fucking, she's in the water. Cecily's like, she's swimming around in the water. And it's true. Yeah. It's exactly what you say. She's in the water. And then so I was like, she was like, leave her. And then she got me to get her out of the water. But like, yeah, you left her in there for like a bit. And then, yeah, they breathe through the umbilical cord. They say, the other thing, you know why babies scream so much?
Yeah.
Because they used to cut the umbilical cord straight away.
Right.
That, and it's like, it's a shock to the baby's lungs. Yeah, and they say, if you feel the umbilical cord, it pulses. And it's constantly pulsing. And that's, she goes, look, put your hand on that and you can feel it. And she goes, do not cut the umbilical cord until the pulsing stops. And you've then like allowed the baby to
acclimatize
to the fucking, like, what the fuck is this? What have I been born into? Like,
I've been born.
Mm. Yeah.
A new life.
But water.
Fucking surprise and process. What?
Just like, do you mean?
Well, it's Nirvana album cover, isn't it? With the baby in the water. Yeah.
You know the fucking dude that was the baby, he's suing them. Like, he already tried suing them, failed, and he's suing him, like, trying to sue him again for child pornography. Yeah.
Wow.
The mad shit. Proper prick. Like, proper pretty. Like, yeah.
Whose baby was it?
Yeah.
It was him. Like, so he's suing him for child pornography. He's like, where's the baby? 30s now or something.
Like,
it was a photo of him. They must have just got it off some, maybe like at the time, maybe like just a free photo thing, or just took it offline. You know, it was less. You know, you couldn't put locks on it. You just could right click, copy photo, save photo, or whatever. But he lost the first one, and everyone's kind of going, what a joker. So I don't think he's going to succeed another time.
Yeah, it's a fucking opportunist, isn't it?
Yeah, that is exactly what it is.
I'd probably do it.
Fuck it. Give it a go.
Yeah, you nonsense.
Well, Kurt Cobain's fucking dead anyway.
Yeah.
True. Yeah.
So he's not going to miss anything. And
mate, he was an interesting dude, wasn't he? Like,
bit cooked, but.
Yeah. Mm. But like, I was watching a thing the other day, and like, it's like his whole thing, they were like, oh, about music. He's like, I don't really care, like, but music, it's not music. Like, do you mean it's like a fucking message? Like, do you know what I mean? It's like fucking, They had a really good documentary on fucking Netflix.
Oh, I seen that neither.
He had like loads of footage of him like talking and fucking his writings. He like kept loads of journals and recordings and shit.
Mm.
So there was like loads of stuff for them to like recall. It's like, it's just fucking troubled, wouldn't he? I don't know. Like these people, I think if they these kind of people are nurtured, these are the kind of people that could go on to do like really great things.
I know.
Like,
but the era, especially with the drugs that were about, and don't get me wrong, like drugs now have taken even more lethal turns.
Yeah.
But right back then, it was, you know, what was the smack that took people? And, you know, when you've got a troubled mind, and then you introduce smack on that such high scale, and you're a rock star, and you can afford it, people are probably giving you it for free.
Yeah.
And then you got your missus like fucking Courtney Love. That compiles into a proper mental health disorder.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you look at a lot of these like people who are famous or whatever. Like, I mean, the mental health of like put on someone like. We don't really get superstars now, but we like, even like, you don't have to be a superstar, but like, let's take Eminem. I think he's a prime example.
Yeah.
Some poor guy from Germany who's like, all of a sudden he was like,
no, Amy Winehouse.
But like that level of world fucking superstar. Yeah. It's like fucking, oh my God, there he is. People screaming at you. It's like, what the fuck? Yeah, like, do you mean? Right. I get paranoid sometimes fucking like just fucking being on fucking Instagram and I got like 1,000 followers.
Hounded by all the pap and all that constantly chasing you around. You'd be like, oh my fucking days. But obviously he was part of the 27 Club. But I don't know if you've heard now, they're calling it the 21 Club. And it's obviously not as big and not as, because there's this whole conspiracy with the 27 Club, because it's so vast. Like, why do they all die at 27? Yeah, well, that aside, it would, you know, it comes back to the drugs, the, you know, the heavy lifestyle, the rock and roll lifestyle.
Yeah.
But now you look at the 21 Club and you're talking about the Xanax rappers.
Yeah.
And now we come on to the dangerous drugs that are here now. And they're just, you know, they're going mental, being hit with this stardom claim, like you say, and just like experiencing this world and then having all this money suddenly. And then obviously, Xanax is just bad enough, do you know what I mean? But popping off.
Fucking pharmaceutical companies, isn't it? Fucking
worst
like,
of the worst.
They're like, what's happened in America over the last, so what was it, fucking 10, 15 years, whatever it is, with the fucking opioid crisis. Fucking absolute bonkers, like, do you mean? Like,
I thought
you
were
there. Like, they fucking, they've gone
going mad. And like, the pricing's out there, they'll rob you blind.
Yeah.
I'm obviously, like, my dad's American. So I was out there seeing him a few years ago, and I just got ill, an infection in my stomach. And for my antibiotics, painkillers, and just a quick 20-minute trip or like half-hour trip into the hospital, it was $1,500.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, £150 just for the painkillers. Like.
That's insane.
I met this American girl, since I was talking to her, she broke her leg. And she didn't have health insurance at the time.
Yeah, fuck.
And she was like, she said it was $33,000.
Okay.
By the time they'd x-rayed it and fucking, she had an itemized bill.
Especially if you've got to get an ambulance as well. It's fucking.
So she had this itemized bill, and I was like, well, what do you do? Like, do you mean? I was like, you fucking have to, like, how do you pay that back? They go, what they do, they take it off your like IRS code or something, and they basically just deduct a percentage of your wages until you've paid the $33,000 back. But she said there's no escaping it because it's.
Yeah, they'll ruin
you. How much is, like, do you know how much insurance is over there?
No.
I couldn't tell you roughly,
so
but
I was watching basically this doctor on YouTube Shorts thing.
Yeah.
He was explaining that to get a medical procedure that would be life-saving, the hospitals and the doctors have to contact the insurance companies and ask if all of these procedures and all of these drugs, they're allowed to do it. So effectively, you've not got somebody with a medical license in control of, like, medicine. It's an insurance company going, oh, yeah, you can use this, no, you can't use this.
Yeah, it's all business, isn't it? Yeah.
Fucked. Like, that's
crazy,
that should not be a system anyway. Like,
Dave.
Well, this is the danger as well, is our fucking health minister, Savage
Javid.
He was just out in America speaking to some of these, you know, medical bosses. Like,
So great. Do you follow Dr. Bob McGill?
No.
You work in the health service?
Yeah.
You do, don't you? Yeah. So Dr. Bob McGill, he's a family GP in Kent, and he is like the forefront of the privatising the NHS thing, of exposing it.
Yeah.
And he's like got the paper trail, like it's not like a conspiracy theory, it's like it's a conspiracy, but it's like it's happening.
Yeah.
And he said it dates back to the 80s, and basically in the 80s they were like, how do we privatise the NHS without the public knowing? It's like, well, Shit. It's going to take time, is basically what they were saying. And he said, he said the stages that they've gone through, he goes, we're in the final stages. He's like, the last guy who was running it was previously the president of United Health, which is the American one. And he was like, yeah, it's at the point now, like, where it's critical. He said, the last thing, so they brought this tiered system in for migrants. You know, like what we have on the dentist where you pay like a band, different bands. Mm-hmm. And he said, this thing they brought in for migrants, he said it was pointless. He said, like, the amount they have to pay, he says, it's hardly worth it. He says, but the only reason they put these tiers in is they're setting the tiers. All this is being set up ready for the movement into when it goes, because they've already got it set up. And it's all like, and he said, and like, he's basically trying to expose and bring to the forefront of people's minds, like, this is happening, this is what they're doing. Running it into the ground.
Tory is the best at this, is like doing these little one-step plans. Even you look at, and I won't go too deep into it, but like the policing bill, and how during, you know, all the lockdowns, they kind of just run it through a load of court systems and all that. And it was just a bit like, standard.
Well, it's that week that the Boris party fucking footage got released. That was the same week that they passed the lifeboat laws. The same week. So, all right, everyone's like outraged about fucking Boris having a party. So, what did you expect?
Yeah, no,
of course they're doing it.
Yeah.
But what the fucking, have you seen what else they've done, which is way worse than fucking him having a party? I go, some party, but the laws that they passed that week, wow.
But it's a nice perfect get people up riled, you know, riled up about the role
fucking thing. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's
professional
manipulation. It is.
Yeah. That's why, in hindsight now, when I'm looking at Boris and, Boris is an idiot.
He's not. He's not an idiot.
Oh, well, go up and distract people, boy.
I still think he's a bit of an idiot. It's just the people around him, like, you know, get round him and they support him and hold up his, you know, and back him so fucking diehard that people just go, oh, wow, if they have trust in him, then his bumbling idiocy then must be just a bit of banter.
Well, I think he knows that and he plays into that. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's like fully aware of
the shit he says. He's talking about Peppa Pig World and that.
Yeah, like, mate. Like,
that says to me, they've gone, just go out there and fucking distract him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay. Where is he? He's done it.
There was the one where he's like, he's trying to give the journalist, keeps asking the question. He's like, take a cup of tea. And I want you to drink a cup of tea. Just have a cup of tea. It's like, just fucking answer the question. And everybody was like, oh, look at Boris. It's like, the woman's asking a fucking serious question. It's like, come on. And it's like, just take the cup of tea. I want you to drink the cup of tea. It's like, fucking.
What happens to the whole advert of don't give people tea if they don't want tea?
What? I don't watch TV, so come talk to me.
Yeah, isn't it?
Because basically, to stop rape and explain consent to people.
Okay.
If somebody comes around your house and they don't want tea or they're unconscious or in any of those situations, you want your tea.
What are you up to, Boris? You and your cups of fucking tea.
So don't give someone fucking tea if they don't want tea.
Yeah.
Right, okay, cool.
Boris, take note.
Guarantee and rape.
Fucking note.
That's mad. That is crazy. That's a horrible tea party.
Yeah.
Don't want it.
But then, is that what happened at the party at number 10?
I'm sure
that the tea party.
Probably lots of tea.
Loads of tea and coke.
Yeah.
Fuck. But like, just with that, you're again like, it's obviously leaked from fucking someone from in there, isn't it? Who else is gonna leak it?
Probably him. Probably them.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, let's put, because you gotta think like, if that happened a year ago, they've known about that. Since it happened, they've chosen to release that information at that time.
Mm.
Yeah, mad thing.
Mm.
So what have you like been propagandized? Is that even a word? Propagandized? Fuck no, making up shit.
That's right.
Can
make up words.
Fucking add it to the dictionary.
In work, like, is it like?
In work, in the sense of
like fucking like the rest of the world with the propaganda, like, is it been like that for you in work?
It's when it started and everyone was like, oh, all these hospitals are packed. We didn't have many people in.
Mm.
And I did hear this from more than one hospital. I think there's a lot of overplaying of things, but at the same time, I've seen people very, very fucking ill.
Yeah.
And it's just been a stressful time for the health system at the minute.
Mm-hmm.
Like, being put on, you know, such alert obviously sets you up for already being like, oh, even if nothing's really happening, when things do pick up, you just... Yeah, it's been a bit mad. And they're still trying to work it out.
Mm.
And I don't like, you know, how the Tories are kind of trying to undermine them in a minute. And the things that are happening are edging towards privatisation, because they're almost, it's almost like the NHS is being set up for a little bit of failure every turn.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then, you know, even when it comes down to, oh, you know, clap for them, don't give them a pay rise.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
It's like, well, it's the 22 billion that they spent on the test and trace app. Which is not disgusting. Actually owned by NHS. It's just got the NHS sticker on it.
Yeah. And it can't have cost that much fucking money to develop. There's some kids that are developing way more fucking complex apps that will probably do it for
£100. Yeah.
So who the fuck did they get to do it for that price?
Like, it doesn't... There's scrap now anyway, isn't it?
Yeah.
They ain't going to use it.
But you know the two companies did it. One was an accountancy firm and one was a data firm.
Yeah.
Two global firms that did it. Like, do you mean? And it's like... Because the other thing that they did as well is that they also passed was they want to be able to research, basically, when medical records were always traditionally private here. But unless you opted out, when was it, last year, then now they can have access and use it for research, unless you willingly went in and opted out and filled the letter in last year. Again, which they didn't actually advertise to anyone.
No, it just changed things, isn't it?
It is, man. It's fucking... It's scandalous.
It's scandalous. Now they've obviously introduced the mandatory vaccines in the healthcare system. So, like, thousands and thousands of people about to lose their jobs.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I did hear the unions are fighting, like, to stop this.
I mean,
but
if
there's only so much a union can do against...
If they're getting rid of the COVID passes, then... I like to go into enclosed spaces and stuff like that. I kind of get it, like, but I think maybe it should have been for a bit, but like now we're coming out of this.
When you've got a certain percent of people vaccinated at this point,
and
we are out of it now. There's been so many talks about how the strains are just getting weaker.
Yeah,
you know that. This is like, let's get back to normal life.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
We've had enough of fucking bumbling around.
Mm-mm.
Pussyfooting around, wasting time. Mm-hmm. We need to get the economy back fucking running.
Yeah. Mm.
We need to get our mental health back up.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Our physical health back up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, again, it's like we were saying before, just a minute ago before you go on, I was like, I've been driven into this place where I'm like, don't believe you. Don't believe you. Right. Like, do you mean? Like,
you question everything.
It's like, I mean, which is a good thing, but it's also like a bad thing, because now it's like, well,
what do you believe in?
Then someone's showing you facts, and you're like, still don't believe you.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's like, it's gone to that point. It's like, I just don't fucking believe anything anymore.
See too much shit, fuck off.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? It's like the whole, I don't know, it's like the whole world just fucking kind of like lost their shit. And then it's understandable if you're constantly been fucking being like, in your face. And it's like, even to the things of like social distance, when it's written everywhere, you're like, social distance, it's all going in your head, dripping into your head. And it's like, oh, don't go near people. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like fucking.
Remember when it all started? I seen some mad things in the supermarkets. I was doing a bit of, I was at Sainsbury's, just like, you know, on the doors, just. Is it stewarding?
Yeah.
Just briefly, get a bit of extra money. And I seen some mad shit. People with buckets on their heads and all kinds of shit, bro. But then there was this set of pictures come out, and I was like, it can't just be Bristol. And it was all over the world. Yeah. People wearing like full
hazmat suits.
Yeah, hazmat suits and fucking.
There was a dude like, on Pulteney
Tampon.
Bridge.
You know, the sani pads, like the sticky ones, just like boom, like
yeah.
Can
my
you breathe?
My favorite.
Halfway down
one
the fucking
seen,
fruit
man.
And veg aisle, just.
The best one I seen was I was at Mount Road. I went and got a trim. Come out of the barbers. As I was walking into Co-op, there was an old dude walking out of Co-op, and he had a letter. It was a CCJ as well, which made it even funnier. sellotape.
Oh no.
And I thought, is that a mask? And he took it off as he came out, and I was like, yeah, it was a mask. Yeah. I thought, that is genius, man.
It's either that or we just really didn't want to forget that CCJ.
Yeah. Mm. Why?
Yeah, by the way, isn't it?
Yeah.
Remember what it was like before. Like, I don't know how to act from what I was previously acting like.
I haven't really... I haven't changed, if I'm honest, mate. Yeah. I haven't really changed the way I move around.
I think I've got more of a fuck you kind of attitude, I think, if anything.
Yeah.
Or like, fuck it.
Yeah, fuck it, not fuck you. Like, not, like, do you mean just the general people just don't fuck it? Like, do you mean, like, I mean, kind of anti-establishment anyway before, but now I'm fucking like...
Even more so.
Like, fuck off. Like, do you mean, like, I just want to go out of my way to fucking break laws just to fucking...
Piss
you know, you know those, like, stupid laws, like, not fucking walk over here. It's just like, I'm going to fucking walk over there just because you're fucking telling me not to, you know? Like, fuck you.
I'm a rebel.
You know, it's like on the LED film, innit?
Yeah.
Middle finger end of the door, so you can't see it, like. Ooh, I'm so bad.
You've seen that though, right? You've seen that, right? Like,
yeah, jokes.
Well,
yeah,
it's fucking... Yeah, man. It's fucking,
yeah, it's all the bullshit,
fucking,
isn't it?
It'll, cool, sorry. So what do you do today, anyway, recording-wise? What's going on with you guys?
Well, I don't really want to give much away from it. These boys have got... well, Burns, actually. Yeah. It's his project he's got going on. So there was quite a few of us sitting in the studio today just laying down 8 bars, and it was... Do you know DSP?
No.
And his brother Cadenza. They're doing bits for their own project, so I was there, sort of caught the tail end of that. And then, started sort of looking at working at this project that Burns has got going on. Mm. But I can't really reveal much about that.
Mm.
Otherwise, it's just going to be a big one, let's just say that.
Yeah, nice.
And you doing some solo stuff as well?
I want to get back on it. I have a bit of time off, obviously finished up. Book started on another one. I'm like, this is the piece de resistance, really, like novel wise. The first one was definitely a lot of editing by the end because of my writing from start to finish grew, and then every edit process got better and better and better. Right. So the end product was like, it took a long time, whilst this one is at a level of quality that I'm already happy with.
What, the second one?
Through,
they say that, don't they? They say people with like the first one like can take you years and years and years. But once you've done the first one, it's like, well, okay, they always say the subsequent ones is like...
They say that about £1 million as well. They said to make your first million is really hard. Mm-hmm. And then once you've made it, it's easy to make more.
Yeah.
You learn what you're doing, I suppose. Yeah. Like you start it, refining your game, and then, like you say, things come together faster with more quality every time.
So what was the... is this your... That's your first ever... novel, right?
Yeah, the one just finished, first novel. Done a lot of like short stories and sort of putting a website together at the minute to just try and so I can get all the short stories, a lot of the poetry.
Yeah.
I can also have links to my cryptic pages, that side of the writing, and then put links to the books when they're published. They can just quickly go on it, buy it, or whatever.
What sort of stuff is the books about then?
So, first novel is like a family read. It's like, I don't want to compare it to The Hobbit, but that's kind of the sort of read and length it would be. But it follows a lot of mythology.
Okay, cool, man.
Is the main sort of bulk of it. I love my mythology. That's sort of like a proper love of mine, just researching all different types. But I love Gaelic mythology, Celtic, Gaelic.
Yeah, rude.
I come from Cornwall, obviously, a lot of my family does as well. So focused in on Celtic and Gaelic, but... Mm-hmm. Led into sort of Native American and Old Norse, and just sort of combine this into a little bit of a fantasy mystery.
Cool,
and you follow this kid, and he disappears. So they're looking for him. He's trying to look through the woods. Blah blah blah. I won't give too much away, but it's this whole thing that starts evolving, and you can suddenly realise that it's a bit darker than you think at the start, and this kid's journey back to. From where he went, but I'll leave it at that. But not all the things that come along the way. So
is it based sort of like in like the Hobbit sort of time
or modern
realm? No, modern time. So it's it's modern day. He goes missing from a lakeside, and the police, literally an investigative force, go in and start sweeping for him, as they do in real life. They start their sweeps, and big forest, lots of opportunities for shit to go down, and exactly that happens. So
it comes out,
and I won't lead into protagonists and antagonists because there's a couple of each, and they were so interesting to write, and the characters just it started as a short story. Mm. And these characters just kept on popping into my head, and they'd come with their own story themselves, and then you'd have to kind of input them and then edit back, and that's how it bolts into a novel.
So you didn't have the overall
concept
thing to start with? It just evolved?
No. So there's a couple of types of writers, and I think it was Stephen King. He may not have named it himself, but he at least taught me the term, and I think he's the guy who kind of made the term famous. Mm. But it's called a pantser. And it's a writer who writes by the seat of their pants. Mm. So they will start off, they'll get there, you'll think of a protagonist and you start, well, where do they start? They start here and, what's the problem? What's the sort of problem they've got right there? And this journey will take you there, and then you'll have ideas, and maybe the ideas will maybe want to be put in a bit later, but they won't sit with you for long, and you learn how to link it all in. And it's a funny way of writing because you have to do a bit of editing at the end, when you do a lot of planning. I'm sure people that write like that have to, at the end of it, do a little less, editing and fitting everything together. I find it's like going on an actual journey for myself. It's like reading the book for myself because these characters are taking me on a journey. Really.
Yeah, sick.
Like I see where they take me.
Mm-hmm. So is the second book like a sequel to the first?
There will be sequels to the first. Right. Because I've already got things that can just expand out, and I left a couple of things lying in the first one that will lead you to go like, oh, but what happened to...
Nice.
And but this other one is, and you mentioned a bit more Hobbity thing, it's a bit more medieval based,
right.
With an edge of sort of steampunk and piracy and mayhem.
Yeah, nice.
And it's a little,
like a Mad Max.
Yeah, little bit older audience as well. So it's a little bit more bloody and
so the first one is like all ages, right?
Yeah, you could probably read it as like a 10-year-old could probably read it as long as he's got. He might miss some of the vocab in there, but he should be able to get the bulk of it.
Yeah, man.
Where can I find that?
I'm trying to hit up publishers at the minute, so it's going to be a case of I'm just going to hound them. If within maybe a year no publishers picked it up direct, I'll look into self-publishing or maybe just putting it out as, when my website's set up as
an ebook.
Download, pay, whatever you want, sort of ebook thing.
Because CD Baby, they've got a company, haven't they? I think. So they've got Books Baby.
Okay.
So CD Baby, the distribution, music distribution site. They've got one called Book Baby, which you can self-publish on if you want to do for higher copies. I'm not sure what prices they are.
Okay.
But one of my goals is to write a book. This year, I woke up on my birthday, right? I fucking sat there, meditated in the morning. The plot comes to me, I'm going to write a book.
Nice.
And it's just fucking the last weeks, I've been fucking changing
you
my
started.
Plotting. I'm actually started writing the bulk of it. It's still
conceptual.
Yeah. It's very Matrix-y.
Yeah,
nice. Sci-fi,
dystopian. It's like Brave New World meets Equilibrium meets the Bible meets Matrix meets
dinosaurs.
Moment in my head, and it's just like okay, and it's like then I was like, just talking about ideas. It's like the main character, so it's like in the future, and he's like, fuck
don't give too much
this
away.
This is the beginning. Mm-hmm. This is the beginning. This is the beginning. Okay. These just falls in my head, and it's like, yeah, he's like. So everyone's fucking neuralinked up to me, and everyone's like, ah.
Yeah.
But he's like, I don't know where, I don't know, want to know, I'm wondering whether him to have fucking superpowers and shit in it or not, or just the people, the belief of it. Do you know what I mean? That's something I'm toying with now. It's like, do I want to go full blown in that world, or do I want it to be more symbolic?
And that's I think with superheroes, with the concept of superheroes in writing, most superheroes come from comics. So it'd be an interesting one to do.
Well, it's not me.
To write into a novel, but at the same time, a very hard one to do because to have a superhero, you've got to get this extreme backstory because it can't just be like this... And I don't mean it to say it would be, but like a subpar idea of somebody who has these powers but doesn't have an intricate enough backstory to make him interesting. Yeah. It can't be the powers that make... Because powers don't just make him interesting. It's what the fuck... They got him there, or what problems arise because of these, isn't it?
Mine was more like, so like you see, like he's like a the one type thing, and there's like a like it's like that, but then the guy doesn't know, and it's like fucking like it's like does he or doesn't he? Like, I mean, does he actually manifest this, or like as it goes on, and the more he learns about his history and shit like that, it's like you're the fucking descendant of fucking. I mean, it's like is this real or is this just like folklore? But the then does it go into like the meaning? Like they believe him so much, like the same concept of what I want to happen there.
It's like a belief system. Isn't it? It's like money.
Yeah,
it's like
do I want the belief to actually be real? Like that is that's a tangible thing, or it's just these people believe it so much. Like
I think it'd be more interested in the other way.
Yeah, that's
for it not to be that way.
Because I read Reza Aslan's The Life and Times of Jesus Nazareth.
Oh right.
And that he's basically Reza Aslan. He's like a religious scholar, but he basically took the Bible and he took historic texts and he like basically he wrote an autobiography on Jesus, the man. Okay. Not Jesus Christ.
The healer.
Well, the man, like the zealot, the guy who went and fucking fought against the Jewish temple and all this shit.
Oh, is it?
So he'd like done it, basically taking it on, took all the Bible stories, and then he took all of what was happening in history, which is documented historically. And he wrote it, and then he compared it, and he tells you, like, what was more likely to have happened. Like, John the Baptist in the Bible, it says Jesus trained John the Baptist. And it's like, in reality, John the Baptist, who was this historical figure, would have likely trained Jesus. He was a person who's hung out, and he used to teach people to baptize. Mm. And just all these, like, things which have been switched over the
slightly
years.
Slightly wrong in chronological order. Like,
yeah, and, like, certain things. But basically, the takeaway of the story is, he basically ends it with, like, and it's true, he goes... Jesus of Nazareth, if you just take like the cold hard of like what it would have likely been, he goes, is every bit as interesting as Jesus Christ, the fucking the mythology side of things and all that. Yeah. He goes, the actual meat and bones of the actual guy who went revolutionized against the fucking Jewish temple, marched in there like fucking zealot of his day. He goes, every bit of interesting.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no
he's
doubt.
A man, like a rebel for the cause, fucking, do you mean? Like, yeah. To me, it's like, again, like you said.
Did you watch that thing on Netflix? Was it on Netflix or Amazon? Where it was like the second coming of Jesus.
Oh, that was really good.
I forgot about it.
The Messiah.
It's fucking sick.
What was this all about then?
So he's,
it was sick, bro.
It's good.
Really good.
I thought it was really good. There's like no like violence or anything. It's all plotline.
It's not fiction. It's
fiction.
Yeah,
it's fiction. Okay,
so he's
okay.
He comes back. Like this guy, he like pops up. So I think it's in Syria. It starts in Syria and he pops up and there's like a fucking sandstorm coming in. He's there and it's like basically like ISIS are there. They're all fucking surrounding fucking Damascus and this guy stands up. But he starts preaching some shit and like all these people are like, you can't fucking say that because they're all like Muslim. And they're like, what, you're talking against the Quran? And he's like, I'm not this, I'm not that. But he's like spitting like some new like, and he looks like Jesus, like fucking the long hair, like the Jesus he puts in the Bible. And he's there and he's like, he's dropping some fucking gems on him. You can't say that. And they're like, anyway, this fucking sandstorm fucking comes and like wipes out like fucking all of ISIS. Like they starve to death because they can't fucking get any supplies because this sandstorm was so bad. And he emerges from the end from the sandstorm and all that. The people are like, oh my God, he's like the savior type thing.
Yeah, he's Messiah.
And then he like marches them to the fucking Israeli border. And like they're all there, and like, but like the CIA and America watching, she's like, "Who the fuck is this guy?" Like, I mean, this is just the first episode.
This
like,
is mad. What the hell?
And like, he goes there, and like, really good, he gets like arrested by the dude, and then the dude, he knows everything about the dude who arrested him. He's like, "How the fuck do you know that?" And this guy's got a secret. Even by the end of the first series, you don't find out what this guy's secret is. But like, he's got a secret, and he fucking like says it to him. He's like the fucking guy. Like, he's special forces in Israel. He like spazzes out. Anyway, he breaks out from the jail, ends up in America, turns up in a storm in America, saves this preacher who's about to burn down his church's daughter. And in America, he like walks on fucking water across
fucking
this sounds like a wicked
and
concept.
Like,
it is wicked.
And it's like they've got it, so it's like half the people are like, nah, he's a hoax, it's a conspiracy. Yeah. Like, and then half the people are like, nah, he's the, like the second coming. It's really good, man. I think they're doing a second season of it.
So, yeah, they should.
I'll have a look at that. It does sound like a great concept, like the resurrection of Christ in a modern day era. Like,
yeah, man.
Because again, that mythology route that you're
route.
All of it's.
Have you watched American Gods?
Yeah, some of it. Some of it. Yeah.
I watched the first season.
That's Neil Gaiman's original books.
Yeah, him.
Wasn't it?
He's good. Mm.
Yeah, really good.
That was good. Well, I watched the first season. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah. And do you know the lead character? I'm pretty sure that's
Calvin from Hollyoaks.
Damn right, yeah, isn't it? Yeah. I was like, is that and because he went off the radar, he was like
he was like the
husband and some shit went down, then he left.
Who was he with in Hollyoaks? He was fucking with Mercedes, I think.
I think that's what got him in trouble, wasn't it? I can't quite remember, but
he's the worst actor in that TV series. It's the guy that plays Odin, Wednesday. I can't remember what his name is. He's fucking sick.
He's wicked, yeah.
Such a good actor.
He was also in 300, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
He was one of the Leonidas's generals or something.
Really good actor. Mm.
Do you reckon yours could like transform well to film?
Yeah, I actually think the first book is going to probably, because it's quite fast-paced, it's based over a short period of time whilst, you know, like actually over a couple of days rather than it being like weeks or months.
Right.
So it could be quite a fast-paced sort of mystery.
Yeah.
I think it would translate quite well.
Would you do that yourself? Would you write a screenplay or would you be like...
This is it. Like, I'd like some... I'd let people take it.
Mm.
And it's one of these ones, you always run the risk of them making a hash of it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if my first novel was to be picked up, let's just for hope's sake say Paramount.
Mm. Yeah.
And they went, all right, you know, and you get back and you look at it and you're like, oh, well, that's actually fucking really different. And, I didn't imagine that character like that. And then, but they've offered me, you know, like a few mil.
Mm.
It's my first book. That few mil could set me back so I'd never have to work again.
Yeah,
so all my work would be just on new books, new writings.
Yeah.
So it's that whole argument of do I sell out
or
and I watch my work turn into something that I don't quite enjoy, or do I take the money, run, make way more fucking work, so I hope one of those gets more attention for a better producer.
The whole selling out thing, it's a very complex thing, isn't it? Like, people like to say, he sold out, and I think there's so many nuances to people's shit. Like, for people to, like, it's like everything in life, isn't it? The nuances and the complexity and the context of things, just like, it's easy for someone to sit and say to someone, it's like, you sold out. And it's like,
it depends.
I wrote it. It's my thing. You, like, do you know what I mean? It's like, and you're right. That can then free you up to do.
Yeah.
Long
exactly.
game thinking.
I think truly sell out and actually should be like, oh, fuck's sake, come on, man. Like, you sold out.
Yeah.
Is if you let either the agent or company run what you are putting out.
Yeah.
Mm. As soon as they are telling it, whether you're a rapper, singer, writer, if they're saying, oh, could you write it like this?
Yeah.
And you're doing something not from your own heart, but to please
them,
you know, a producer.
I don't hear a hit.
That's a
where's your hit record?
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That shit. Yeah.
Oh, I can make more money and more money. And just take the money
also
first.
Also, as well, another thing I think is just doing things that do not align with you. Like adverts or endorsements. Adverts or endorsements, cool, like, great, but
not against your own morality or morals.
Do you align with what the fuck it is you're advertising?
Do you believe in
it?
If
you do, cool, like, fucking great. You're probably going to get some free shit and some support from a company that you fuck with already, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, say it's like, I don't know, fucking, I don't know, say, like, on here, for example, we get, like, Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer.
Sponsored by Pfizer.
It's an actual endorsement, Pfizer.
Like, I was watching the thing the other day and they were saying about, like, the amount of
endorsements they got. Do you watch that trailer? Like, it's just like, sponsored by Pfizer, sponsored by Pfizer, sponsored by Pfizer. It's like, ooh.
But it's like,
But then I guess
makes
as well,
you think they're trying to make money, isn't it?
With
a pharmaceutical company, they help people, don't they?
Sure, man.
With you trying to get it into a film, I guess you could work with someone that you like their work. Mm. So I mean, it's like with us and C. It's like C gave me a promo video the other day for the club that he filmed in Halloween, and he was like, "Just let me know what edits you need done." Da, 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 da. I was like, "Probably don't need edits." Mm. He's like, "Are you sure?" I'm like, "That's why I'm working with you, because I literally go, I want this, and you give it to me."
That was an ideal world.
Yeah, I guess.
If you've got something in this, like, it depends. If you've got, like, the dream scenario for anyone is always when you've got multiple people approaching you, isn't it?
Right. Yeah.
It's like, when you're in demand rather than seeking.
Well, what are you offering?
Yeah.
What are you saying? It's like when you see, like, these people, like, especially with music, like, you see people and they say, like, yeah, going to get signed. I've had an offer from them. It's the way if you had an offer from anywhere else.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's just them. It's like the ball's kind of in their court. Yeah. Like, it's when you're, like, sat there and it's like, well, fucking Sony has, like, offered me a deal and fucking, do you know what I mean? It's like Universal offered me a deal and it's like, then you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
You're in fucking, you can play them
like a pair of dogs, just throw a bit of meat down, like, there you go, chat, fight it out.
It's like, I mean, it's like, because generally fucking record companies are like, I think that it's a lot different now. Like, basically, the artists do their groundwork for them.
Mm-mm.
Where record companies is always like, I don't want to be on the side of record companies because they think they fucking...
God, they rule a bit.
Do you know what I mean? But, like, the amount of money, the amount of artists that flop, that they pump money into, in the olden times, it's like, in the old days of doing it, it's like... they'd like, it was almost like an investment thing for them, wasn't it? It's like, they have a portfolio of different things, and all these flop, and then these main little group that make them the money of the stars. But like now, they don't even do that.
No.
They just sit back and they go, "Oh, what are the stats saying? Oh, YouTube's good. Yeah, sign in." Like, they don't even have to like... No.
Develop.
They don't
the
have
artists.
The floppers.
No.
You just get the fucking ones that are popping off and go to them and go,
yeah.
But there's a lot more people now who are then turning around to them saying, nah, fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm making this on my own.
And the world of independent, you know, production, I guess, and being able to put your own music out either on your own or as smaller labels like, say, us or Green Brick.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot more available now because we have access to these things that, you know, back in the day were fucking expensive.
Yeah.
There wasn't so many of them. You couldn't pick up the range of them. They'd all just be like, you'd get probably 2-3 and they're the expensive. And you get expensive and very expensive.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have the access now, so it's...
Yeah, I mean, like, again, possible. Like home recording studios, project studios.
Mm.
Yeah.
Although we don't get the financial push.
No.
That is the bugger. And especially with, and I'm hoping it's going to change with the whole streaming services and how, you know, especially independent artists and independent labels, they're the ones who get stitched because technically you're paying for that service. So if you're not making enough money, meeting enough, you know, criteria, enough views, blah, 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 it's not financially worth it. But they need to change to start.
At the same time, though, you would be even worse being signed to a label as an artist.
Reckon, yeah.
Like the labels, not so much, but the artists.
5 minutes.
The art.
15.
50 minutes.
50.
The artists who are signed to the labels are earning like a fraction. So like, say I uploaded a song to DistroKid yesterday, ready to be for April. So that one that I uploaded for April, like I know when that comes back, because I had a girl who sang on it, and I'm going to give her 20% of it. Mm. But like, that's it. Everything that comes from that, it's like, yeah, cool. Where if I put that under a label, like fucking, I'd get like 20% or 10%, and the label's taking
their cut. You can just put it all straight back into your own business.
I think is it a million streams earned you about £3,000-£4,000, isn't it, I think?
Something like that, I couldn't tell you.
What, Spotify or anything?
Average. Right. I think that's based on Spotify. But do you know, ironically...
How much did you say?
A million streams earned you about £3,000-£4,000.
That's
It's honestly really low.
YouTube is the worst.
Really?
YouTube is the lowest.
Better than...
A million streams is about £3,000-£4,000.
Is it? With Spotify, they do it differently, don't they? Don't they give it up to the most played artists?
This is an average, right? So you have to take averages because the thing with Spotify is not every stream is equal.
Right.
So if someone who is on a free account listens, you don't earn as much as someone who's on a paid account.
That's fine.
So these are all averages.
Even though those people are listening to fucking adverts.
Mm. Yeah.
Right.
And like, if you, like, I've read, like, Spotify are the worst ones, right? If you are an artist and you've got, again, I'm not telling you what to do. Do your own thing.
Yeah, you are.
But, yeah, Spotify, like, switch. Like, dude, obviously you're putting your music, but, like, I mean, for you as a consumer, as an artist, like, Apple, fucking Tidal and Napster. Napster, ironically, are the streaming service that pay the most per stream.
That's mad.
After all those years, Napster pay 1p per stream.
Fucking hell, I've LimeWire back too.
And then second behind them is Tidal. So they're the two, though. So, like, if you're an artist, like, you may as well just pay to fucking have a subscription from them. You get the same library.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? You're paying the same amount of money for, like, don't fucking give your money to the company that the ones that are fucking raping you.
Yeah, I cancelled mine.
Do you know what I mean?
Start of the month, I think.
Yeah,
so I've got YouTube Music and YouTube, so it's just like, I didn't really need Spotify as well. Fuck it.
YouTube worse, right? Fucking YouTube pay less than fucking Spotify.
Yeah, I know, but.
Bastards!
I got no adverts.
They are. It's, But yeah, and then at the same time, though, you look at, like, fucking the people like, Russ.
Yeah, he's smacking it.
He's, do you know what I mean? But again, it's like, the it's true, the business model in the world we live in, like, but that Daniel Ek, he was the wrong person to be saying it. So Daniel Ek, the CEO of Spotify, he basically said to everyone, it's like, well, you're not working hard enough. You need to be releasing more singles and more songs.
Mm.
Which, under this business model, is true.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't be coming from you, you cunt. Yeah. I don't want to fucking hear you tell me to do it. Yeah, you're not doing it. It's like, fuck off.
And there's a mic, mate. You start recording. Layer it up. Come on, bud. Where's your ad-libs?
But the trouble with it, it's like, I don't know, it's like, it's nice to sit there and fucking create and be like, I'm going to tweak that. It's like, but where are you constantly thinking, I need another song. It's it gets relentless, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, you can't put like some, the whole thing of like, it's nice to just be able to sit there for a year or something and just fucking craft something. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, nope, give me more. More content. Yeah, it is. And it's, it can get, but I got burnt out, man. I was fucking trying to keep up with that shit.
Yeah, that's it. You got to take your time. Obviously, still continue to do it. It's always good to like just keep a habit of doing, like even a little bit.
Yeah.
Like I always try, even if I'm feeling like bad, it's like just write some nonsense for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Get up and spit a couple of tunes and just be like, oh, that 10 minutes, that was been done.
Yeah.
At least it's been done. But the
creative side of things, like I constantly fucking writing, but it's like more of the social media, content, side of things. Yeah.
That definitely needs
that was the relentlessness for me.
I find myself like really bothered about things that I was like, I didn't get. What do you mean I'm bothered about? I got like 10 less likes on this one.
Yeah.
Like, for fuck's sake, something so mundane as likes.
You get really fucking hooked in, do you? Yeah. They get you by the balls, man. So I'm on TikTok now.
That's pretty fucking mad and unregulated, though, isn't it?
Wow, that shit is fucking like, before you know it, you're there, you're like, I'm like, why can't I stop scrolling? And I'm there in my head. My head's telling me, it's like, you're still scrolling. I'm like, I know. And I'm going to stop.
And then I'm
like, why can't I stop? And it's smacky. So fucking surreal. It's like, oh my God, don't mean it.
Catch the pit top. Oh, that's a cat. I just had a cat video.
I read this thing though. They said the reason why TikTok is so good is because you're getting all this shit, but it's not constantly the same stuff. Where like, if you look at my YouTube, what they recommend to me, what YouTube recommend to me is generally all of the same sort of themes.
Yeah, their algorithms just like take most viewed things.
He likes that. TikTok is like, could be a bit of this, bit of that, bit of that. And you're getting all these things. It's like, doom, 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 just going into your retina, like fucking boom, 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 boom. And it's like, fucking hell. And you like get off and you're like, the fuck, like your head's just like,
and it wasted an hour and a half. It's like, fuck,
yeah. And I think like the randomness of like the variety of the fucking like content that's just like going into your head, where it's not so much of like the same thing. Like, that's what I have to put YouTube down, because a lot of my YouTube is it's on like
fucking, triggering you.
Just, yeah, it's like shit like I don't know, exposing fucking conspiracy realm. Like I'm just into that shit. Like, you mean? But it can put me fucking like in dark places, which is very good for writing. But I have to be like, whoa, put that down. And I know I have to put it down because I know how it's making me feel.
Yeah.
But like TikTok, it's like it's gone from that, and then it's like someone making me laugh, and then it's like someone like, oh, that's a bit emotional. It's like it's giving all the emotions. Yeah. Like doom 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 doom.
Man, I've gone back to Reddit.
Really?
It's fucking sick, bruv. Yeah, I forgot how good it is.
Quite a bit on Reddit, you know?
Yeah.
I always like flick on Reddit. It's just like when I need to answer specific questions.
Yeah.
And it's normally the first one that pops up on the quick list. Like, so.
Reddit's good, man. Some good threads on there.
Mm.
Not like people called Fred, but. It's pretty sick.
It's damaging that people's attention span has now been taken down to
15 seconds.
Like that's what people go
on. Well, you say that, but then look at Netflix documentaries and Netflix series that go on for like 10 years and stuff like that.
And so,
people binge watching them like 10 episodes at a time or 5 episodes at a time, isn't it, I suppose.
I mean,
it's weird.
I make sure I read at least 20 minutes a day of a book. Like, I make sure I make myself do.
Yeah,
and I make sure I meditate daily.
Yeah.
So it kind of negates it and it offsets it. I really want to read that book by, I can't remember what her name is. It's called Dopamine World. Dopamine World? Mm. But it's a new one. And she's like the head of the addiction fucking thing in the government in the US.
Mm-hmm.
She was on Russell Brand's podcast. And then I seen another thing of the other day of someone doing a book review of the book. And they said it's Dopamine Nation. It's Dopamine Nation is called. And they're like, wow, the book's amazing. It's basically, she's wrote about the modern technology addictions. And she was saying, she actually lives in a cabin in the fucking wilderness. And she's like that. And she like collects her own water and shit.
Yeah, nice.
And she's like real successful. She's done like mad jobs, like worked like in fucking Afghanistan and shit. Like real like long list of credentials, like fucking. But yeah, she's like, basically the book's about having to detox. These things are going to need to come in soon. We're going to need to step away. Like, you can't just constantly be in it.
It's definitely.
Fuck you.
We've got a bubble in the metaverse. We can go in and be alone. So we're fine.
Was it David Bowie mentioned all about this? And I've been writing a little article and I quoted it. So I'm going to see if I can find it quickly. But it was really interesting because it was like, I think it was 95.
I seen the video when, of him talking about it.
Do you see that?
The video of David Bowie talking about it. Yeah.
I'll see if I can find it.
Oh, what? But when he's talking about like technology and shit. I've seen that one,
he was a smart man.
Yeah,
he got it pretty fucking bang on. We haven't seen that, like, was it the tip of the iceberg when it comes to.
There was a really cool one that I seen him talking about, and it was him talking about art. He's like, well, everything's art. Like, you getting a haircut's art. Because you're projecting yourself artistically into the world by choosing to have that haircut. Whether you go to IKEA or you go and buy some fucking designer furniture from some fucking random place, he goes, that is art. You're making that space look how you want to look it, and that is art.
Right.
Like, and it's like, whoa. I was like, Like, you mean it's like fucking, like.
I don't know what he was doing in the labyrinth, though, that baby.
Dance, magic, jump, magic. Oh, mate, that was funny.
That's
some funny shit.
It's weird, man. You've got a baby in the laughing.
Yeah,
he's like, here you go, fucking walks off. Fucking Bowie, bro.
Like, we tried to watch that with Carvel, and like, he's like, what the fuck is this?
It's weird, isn't it?
Isn't it?
It was like, there was another one a bit like that. It's like something crystal.
Oh, Dark Crystal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They did the new modern one. That was the Jim Henson stuff. Oh, yeah.
It
was,
the new one's on Netflix, wasn't it?
It was wicked. It was a nice change because it's not like CGI'd. It's still Jim Henson Productions, obviously.
Yeah.
That was a nice change from all this super CGI'd stuff. I can't quite find it, but fuck it.
I went to that We the Curious, and they got like the fucking, like, you can do like the morph.
Is that
like
the thing in Bristol?
Yeah, it used to be at Bristol.
Yeah, yeah.
And they got like that. They got like the little morph guy.
Do it, man.
Like, you can make like create like, was it the what's it fucking called? The plasticine modeling, stop motion. Yeah. Pop, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So John Seaton, one of his videos, he did that, and he did it all himself, and he cut out all the trees, and he said he took loads of different frames of the little plasticine men that he'd made moving. Sick. And he made a whole music video.
I used to love it when I was a kid, like doing all the IT stuff, and I'd sit there with a little camera just like next to my computer. It was wicked fun, man.
The time.
Yeah,
it's time consuming for sure.
And like now, like you can like the models are there for everything. Like these computer games and that, it's like they don't really have to do the hard work. I watched this fucking thing the other day, actually. This guy was like fucking, he was like, basically modern kids were like slagging off like people our age and like sort of thing. They were like saying, they all like, our age and older, saying like fucking, they don't really know fucking computers or whatever. Yeah. Like this bloke, like fucking, he goes, don't know fucking computers. He goes, we know more about computers than your generation ever will. He goes, what do you know sitting there trying to fucking have to code something because, or dialing in a patch because you didn't fucking know how to do it? He goes, no, you just press fucking download from the cloud, don't you? He goes, it's all done for you. Yeah. He goes, you know fuck all about technology. Yeah, right. You think you do.
Just close his mind, motherfucker.
How are you doing on time?
You're an hour and 3 minutes.
Cool.
That's sick. Right. Yes.
So what is the book called? I don't know yet.
Well, no, I do. It's called Old Magic, Reemergence. And I think it was, initially it was like just Old Magic. And then that's when I was saying I wanted to do some more. And I was like, that I think that I looked in and there was another book called Old Magic. And I was like, well, I can't have that as the direct name of the book then. So I was thinking, sit that as like the Old Magic being the series, trilogy maybe.
Yeah.
And then, just have the Reemergence is the actual name. And Reemergence sort of crept in just because I was thinking about it and it does sort of play, but I've been sort of thinking about another couple of ideas. Mm. So whether that changes, send it off to publishers, but it's again... Yeah.
I want to read it, man.
One of them.
Fuck yeah, man.
Yeah. Send it my way.
Cool. Maybe I'll sneak you a little e-copy anyway.
Yeah. I'll print it myself. Like, I can't fucking read it on Kindle. I need paper.
Yeah, papers. I got to do it work. Like, photocopy it.
Yeah. Use my paper.
Talking about books, mine, just on the last note, have you read, well, seen that Lee Scott's just
I've seen
Swan Songs.
What is it? What type of book is it?
I think it's like a comedy thrillery. Yeah, it's like it's Lee Scott writing a book. Just the blurb on the back kind of sums it up.
Right.
I know Ginger Slim fucking said he's read it. He's like raving about it.
Yeah, he's got some real. And you can imagine, you know, Lee Scott's kind of like humour in his. In his rap, anyway,
funny as
it's
fuck.
Very similar Lee Scott humor in his book, like very blunt, very not, and it's not dumb. It's extremely clever, but it's like statements said like in quite a blunt and almost dumbed down way that is so clever and so fucking funny.
Like, it's kind of like South Park-y, right?
You'll
get the humor if you are dumb and you don't see the bigger thing behind it, but you'll also get it if you see
intelligent. You'll get the other side of it.
Either side, you're catering for both audiences. Like you could take the potty humour, or you can be like, "Oh, that means a lot more than what you think that's just been fucking portrayed."
I was wondering about that. I was listening to one of their new. Have they put out a new project? What are they called? The group,
not Blah or Cult of the Damned.
Cult of the Damned. Did they put out a new project recently?
I don't know. Jam Baxter just put one out.
They did. There's the two tracks they did. Gung Fu and.
Actually, sorry, I know what it's from. It's from the Black Josh album, the new Black Josh album. Yeah, yeah. And one of his lyrics in it is he goes, "If I speak highly of you, then that's the lowest form of wit."
Yeah.
And I was like, that's he's just clever like that. It's almost like Lil Wayne-ish. That's like how Lil Wayne spits with like these like.
Yeah, they're all bare clever in that.
Yeah,
game.
yeah.
Like I listened to the Jam Baxter album the other day, but like I need to listen to it again on my own. Because Jan Bax is one of their man.
He's hard, like, man.
What did he say?
He's made the move over to Blur, hasn't he? He's made
this was released on Blur, wasn't it? The new one. And it's, like he's like, he is one of my favourite lyricists, point blank, period.
Okay.
In the world.
Really? In the world.
Like, I love his like trippy psychedelic-ness of he's just so good. Like,
That Saliva tune and like Red Hawaiian and like that, those sort of like wavy
yeah,
fucking ones.
So We Ate Them Whole is actually my favorite LP of his. But then the one he did, like that random one he done with Ed Scissor as well, like the fucking the short one, the laminated cakes one.
I think I missed the
Laminated Cakes album with Ed Scissor. Oh my God.
No, I think, I do know what you mean. Yeah, of course I do. What's it called?
That's not what Laminated I thought it was called. Cakes, I think is called.
Unless he's done more with Ed Sears, is it?
I swear it's Laminated Cakes.
Okay.
Yeah, it is.
Is it Laminated Cakes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a mad fucking album art.
Yeah,
bro.
There.
Wait, that reminds me of fucking... Have you ever seen that program on YouTube, Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared?
Nah.
Oh, my fucking days. Like, it's Don't weird. Me, yeah. Scared. Like, there was this big conspiracy that there was some hidden message about it. And if you watch all six, you'd like go a bit fucking insane and shit like this. And, but yeah, it's like this. It starts off, it's actually quite dangerous, really, because it's on YouTube and it looks like it's that sort of felt, sort of cartoony thing. And it's fine. It seems like it's going fine, like a normal kids program would, and then it just starts going into like your blood and like brains, and it's just all a bit crooked, and then it flicks back again, suddenly YouTube, back to normal, and it's like, it's whoa, like, what was that, man?
Fucking, like...
Yeah, if you've not watched it, watch it.
Yeah, I'm gonna... Unless we're not telling you what to do.
Unless you're, but... unless you're a child.
Unless you're a kid, yeah. It's not meant
like,
to
be. Like, yeah.
Yeah, that shit. That's fucking mad.
And it's like, yeah, like the manipulation that can happen on YouTube. I remember fucking Carvel, like, because we took YouTube off of like everything. Like, he was like watching this thing, and like he'd like watch it at his nans and shit, and like he like went to the beach, and he's like, no, the sharks and shit. And it was like this weird thing. It's like the shit you're watching is like fucking like, what do you mean sharks? Like,
yeah.
Fucking, were you scared of sharks? Like from the shit you're watching. Like,
yeah.
And it was like this weird thing when you're on the beach, and like it was weird. And then I started watching like caught glimpses of like, I was like, what the fuck? Like, let him watch that, man. Like, fucking get that.
Yeah, kill that shit. Yeah.
It has to be separate, like, peer reviewed anymore. Like,
nah.
You'd, to release a book, it would have to go through a publisher, isn't it? You'd have to be like, yeah. Okay, this adds up.
Yeah.
But now, with people just being able to produce anything,
there's no regulations.
Right.
So double edged sword.
Yeah. It's like that Danish thing. Did you see that Danish kids? Program with the guy with the massive dick.
No.
What the fuck?
Nah,
he had a massive long dick, and he used to like he did like all sorts of mad shit with it. It was.
What? What kind of mad shit?
I don't know. Like, I was like, this is mad.
Shit with it.
It's jokes.
Do you know what I know? Like the thing with
don't
that.
Pull
like,
up. I don't need to see videos of this.
The thing with that, so, I think,
porn
it's brilliant,
hub?
But it's also, you got again. You look at both sides of it. It's like the fact that we're able to just put out what we want, brilliant. But if everyone's allowed to do it again, like.
Some minds that I shouldn't be able to do, shouldn't have access to do that. Like, yeah. Some are a bit broken.
So now people don't believe, like, you don't know what to believe because there's so much misinformation.
It's because everyone's got a voice now.
Well, everyone's just got an opinion, and then they're in the honeypot of their opinion, and then that becomes fact because they're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
So you
just type
for Picasso. No, I typed in Danish dick man.
Definitely and, gonna get legit results for that one.
The children's cartoon character with a long penis that can operate a barbecue.
Operate a barbecue?
Yeah, it's cool.
What, with his dick?
Yeah. Mate, I told you he does bear shit.
Does anyone want the hung sausage?
Yeah. No.
Oh, what's it called? I don't know. I can't remember what it's called. Oh, there it is. His name is John Dillamand.
Dillamand.
Yeah, and he like he just goes around.
Man, sounds to me like somebody official should be keeping an eye on him.
Yeah. Like, what's the algorithm showing you, mate?
This dude with a long penis. See?
Oh wow! What the hell?
And it's stripy, or maybe that's his willy warmer.
Mate, that's fucked.
And he can use it as a helicopter's. Yeah.
Yeah.
What we're seeing helicopter. Rotor blades.
Yeah,
he can fly. Yeah,
and it's stripy. Like, where's Wally? Like,
yeah.
Like, when I was a kid, we had Inspector Gadget.
He was sick.
He was the Donny.
He was
not some
sick.
Bloke. Yeah, fucking
twiddling his dick.
Like, he's using his dick as a gadget.
Flipping burgers.
You know, so someone's took that Eminem lyric too far. Go, go, gadget dick.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember that
right.
On the bar on the fucking Subterranean LP. Someone took that too far, man.
Yes. But I think it aired in Ireland. Like, it's Danish, but I think it aired in Ireland.
Fucking hell.
What, that's like on mainstream TV?
Yeah, I think
that's
so.
Mad, isn't it?
Wow.
That's mad.
The song's really good as well. The theme tune is really good.
It's your childhood watch, is it? Mine was Scooby-Doo, yours was Where's Waldo?
Yeah.
And it's Mandingo.
Where's Winky?
For fuck's sake.
Man.
All right, let's end on a more serious note.
Yeah.
What is your personal meaning of life, Cryptic?
My meaning of life?
Or what is it today?
Today.
Well, meaning of life, I think I've pretty much got it on lock. I have thought about it many times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's honestly just bettering myself, making sure that I'm trying to stay in my lane and doing everything that I want to do and love doing.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure I'm living my life every day. And being appreciative for it.
Yeah, man.
It's basically it, you know? Just nice. Learn. Just keep learning, keep enjoying, man.
Yeah. Yeah, nice, man.
Better yourself and it will better the people around you, innit?
Yeah.
Indeed, yeah.
Self-love is not selfish.
No. Indeed. Innit?
Amen to that.
Amen to that. Ladies and gentlemen, Cryptic!
Boom. Big up. Yo. Big up, guys.
Yeah, nice, man. Thanks for coming through, man.